today, we're looking at the economy in Henry VII's England. To understand the economy, we have to understand what society was like. I'm talking about everyday people, and in this case, I'm talking specifically about peasants. The population in England was about 2.2 million people in Henry's reign, with about 90% of these people living off the land as farmers. That's the first thing we're going to focus on, farming. There were three types of farming. Arable farming, which is all about growing crops. Pastoral farming, which is all about raising animals. And then mixed farming, which you do a bit of both. Now in the lowlands of England, mixed farming was most common. That covers sort of east of the country, the Midlands and the south. Then in the highlands, which is the north and the west, pastoral farming was more common. The Black Death had led to a decrease in the population in 1348. As a result of this, income from the land had declined, and England had not recovered from this. People found new ways to make profits. One of the ways they did this was through sheep farming. Wool had become a valuable product as demand had increased through trade with Europe, and an increased population in England during the 1480s and 1490s. Now we're going to look at wool again when we focus on industry, because the cloth industry was the biggest industry in England. But in terms of farming, the move towards a more pastoral farming caused an issue with peasants. It led to a policy of enclosure. Now, enclosure is the process of fencing off land which had previously been part of the common land. Common land was land which could be used by anyone for their animals. By fencing this land off, the people who owned it could charge rent and therefore make more money out of the land. But for peasants, it left many of them destitute. Ultimately, agriculture changed very little in Henry's reign. Enclosure would become a much bigger problem in the reign of Henry VIII and his children. The next key part of the economy in Tudor England was trade. Now, the cloth trade was the largest industry in England. It made up about 90% of all exports. The cloth trade had previously focused on raw materials, exporting wool to other countries, which could then be turned into products. This happened in coastal towns such as Yom, where wool would be taken by the merchants of Staple from these towns to Calais, where it could be sold for a profit. Increasingly though, Henry's reign had led to finished products. They were becoming the really big exporter. So wool being taken and made into a product, clothes or something like that, which could then be sold. The cloth trade increased in Henry's reign by about 60%, and this was down to that change from raw materials to finished products. This change to finished products also led to other industries developing, such as fulling. Now, fulling is the process in which wool is cleansed of its dirt and impurities. The increase in the cloth trade had seen towns such as Lavenham in Sussex become very prosperous off the change from raw materials to finished products. However, not all cities were so lucky. More traditional towns like Lincoln and Winchester suffered heavily as the cloth trade moved from those cities to manufacturing centres in smaller market towns, places like East Anglia, for example. So not everyone benefited from the change to the cloth industry. Now, we can't talk about the cloth industry without mentioning the merchant adventurers. They were a trading organisation which had dominated London's cloth trade with Antwerp. Remember, from when we looked at foreign policy, that Burgundy was England's most important trading partner, and Antwerp was the capital city. The merchant adventurers replaced the merchant of the staple as the most important and the wealthiest trading bloc in England. We can see the importance of the merchant adventurers when Henry VII sought their advice on the Intercursus Malus, which restored trade with Burgundy, and then the Intercursus Magnus, which was supposed to improve trade but was never enacted. The merchant adventurers spoke for industry when it felt Henry was prioritising other things above trade too much. They were extremely powerful. They didn't have it all their own way, though. The Hanseatic League was an international rival. The League was comprised of free cities, meaning cities which governed themselves or had large amounts of autonomy in their countries. This included places such as Hamburg, Berlin, London, Bristol, Antwerp, and the Vatican, as well as many other countries. Now, what you have to remember is that Italy and Germany in particular were not united countries throughout the Tudor period. They are lots of small individual states. But the Hanseatic League, their aim was to control trade in the Baltic Sea. The merchant adventurers were never able to break the dominance of the Hanseatic League. Henry had been forced to support them in 1504 to ensure they did not support the Duke of Suffolk, Edmund de la Pole, who was a rival claimant to the throne. Then all that's left is other industries in England, which were very small. England were dependent on the cloth industry. This was because Germany were far superior in terms of mining, while the Dutch, the Spanish, and the Portuguese were all better shipbuilders. Mining did exist in England, but on a very small scale. It was mostly confined to tin from Cornwall or coal in Newcastle. This was because it required more capital to invest in order to get started, and most people simply could not afford it. Coal was mostly sent to London, but small amounts were exported to Germany and the Netherlands. Ultimately, England's economy was dominated by agriculture, as it had been throughout the medieval period. The cloth industry did grow to become more prosperous, but it was still very small. Henry didn't follow an exact economic policy. He was lobbied by merchants or individuals with interests of their own. They would gain the king's favour and ask him to put in place policies. Overall, though, the economy between 1485 and 1509 was successful.